Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I spent last week in the Twin Cities. I attended two continuing education events put on by Luther Seminary. The first one focused on the lessons that we will be using in worship next year from September all the way through Memorial Day. The other one that I attended, it's an annual workshop that they put on. It's part of a series. The series is called Rethinking. And its goal is to look at the different things that the churches and the church has done and to rethink it. Is what we're doing working? Is this the best way to do this? Should we still be doing this? Is there a better way? Over the past 5 years, I've attended rethinking conferences on rethinking evangelism, rethinking faith formation, rethinking stewardship, rethinking confirmation, and rethinking Sunday morning. This year, they decided to be a little more broad. This year's topic, rethinking church. Each year I've gone to those, I've come back with a lot of questions, few good ideas, few bad ideas, but I've always come back with the urge to push and to challenge the congregations and the church to rethink how we do what we do. This year, for Rethinking Church, the basic question was, what does it mean to be the church? A lot of scripture was shared. And a lot of it was shared so quickly that the best way that I took notes was to hold my iPad up to the screen that they had and take pictures. And then when I got back to my hotel room at night, to read what was on the slide, transcribe those into my notes, and to think a little deeper on everything that was talked about. We reflected on scripture that talked about what God wanted of the people of Israel and about what Jesus told his disciples and apostles that he wanted them to do. The thing is, much of what God talked to the Israelites about and what Jesus talked to the apostles about isn't what we do. Now, I don't have this all thought out. I don't have it all rethought out. But there are some things that I want to share, and I'm going to continue to share them. There's a difference between there's a difference between having a church and being a church. Having a church refers to the building. It refers to a structure, both a physical structure and an organizational structure. It puts emphasis on two things. Having a church means that the important things are worship and life within the church. The structure, both the building and the organization, provide a physical space where things can get done. It provides a sense of permanence that the church building is here and will be here for future generations. It's a work that lives beyond ourselves. And the organization provides a way of getting things done. It provides a priority or a hierarchy, which can be another form of permanence. But there's concerns about that type of a structure, because permanence hinders flexibility. It hampers the ability to meet changing needs. And here I'm referring to both the building and the organization. We've always done it this way. Stifles imagination and creativity. More churches have been divided and split up over building plans and color choices than over decisions, including women's ordination and acceptance of the LGBTQ community. More people leave their church because they weren't put on a committee, or they can't get off of a committee, than leave over theological disagreements. Having a church and having the permanence of structure can limit what the church can do. Because structures need to be maintained and operated, and sometimes just keeping the doors open becomes the focus of the church rather than on doing the mission of God. In the Gospels, Jesus never referred to the church. He never referred to the reign of God. He never referred to the kingdom of heaven as a physical structure. The closest he came to a church physical structure was when he talked about the temple. And of that he said, a temple made of human hands can be destroyed and be rebuilt and restored in just 3 days. Being a church refers to the work that Christ has called his followers to do. The ecclesia, the Greek word that we translate as church, has assembly or congregation as its primary meeting. It doesn't refer to the building, but it refers to the bodies gathered in the building. I have a visual representation of this. I hope that everybody's able to understand this. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. The focus of the church is people, not the building. The building cannot do the work of God. It can enable, it can facilitate it. It can't do it. The people can. The people, the body of Christ, are called to do what Jesus commanded. And that brings me to today's lesson and the people of Macedonia. Now, one of the things that Paul was charged with doing was going to the churches that he helped to set up, the churches that he was in charge of, and collecting an offering for the poor of Jerusalem. It's time to collect the offering. And Paul shares with the church in Corinth how their sister congregation in Macedonia has done. We want you to know by the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia, for during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity in their part. Now, I've never been a parent, and I'm an only child. But I have a lot of cousins and friends who either have siblings or their parents of multiple children. And so I have seen the efforts of someone to share the good things that one child has done as an effort to motivate another child. Your brother made the honor roll. Your sister cleans up her room. Here, Paul, to the large, wealthy congregation in Corinth, he's sharing what these small, poor people of Macedonia have done. They gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints and beyond, not nearly as we expected. Paul is telling the Corinthians that the church in Macedonia, the small, poor church in Macedonia, not like the big, strong, rich church that you have in Corinth, the small, poor church in Macedonia gave according to their needs and even beyond their needs, begging begging for the privilege of being able to share in this ministry to the saints. And after sharing the good news of what the church in Macedonia, the small, poor church in Macedonia, Paul turns to the Corinthians. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and I say in our love for you, so we also want you to excel in this most generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. If the Macedonians, the small, poor Macedonians, have been so generous, just imagine what the Corinthians, the big, rich, strong Corinthians, just imagine what they could do. After all, they excel in everything. Paul admits he's doing this to motivate and inspire the Corinthians. I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. Wow. Who knew you could pit one congregation against the other? I might have to file that one away. But what Paul is talking about and what he's challenging the church in Corinth to do is to be the church. To be the church, to do church, to act as the body of Christ, to do what we have been commanded to do. So what does it mean to do church? Well, here are the things that Jesus told his disciples to do. Take care of the sick, feed the hungry, tend to the poor, welcome their stranger, receive children, support widows, forgive as you have been forgiven. But chiefly, what Christ wants his followers to do, what he wants the ecclesia, the congregation, the assembly, the body of Christ to do, is summed up in what he said were the two greatest commandments. Or even better, what he gave as a final command when he had his last meal with his disciples. According to John, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Being the church, doing church, means loving others with the love Christ has for us. Loving with an all-encompassing, all-giving, all-forgiving, all-hearing, all-embracing, all-sacrificing love. It means focusing not on the church and its doors, but on the world outside of the doors. It means giving of yourself and beyond, just as the Macedonians did. It means inviting God in and inviting God to take who you are and what you have, as Paul is asking the Corinthians. It means telling God to take my life, take my hands, take my voice, take my silver and gold, take my will, but most importantly, take my love and take myself, that I will be ever only all for thee. So I want you to think and rethink with me. And when you think of the church, don't think of the building. Don't think of the steeple. Throw open the doors and love all the people. Amen. Our hymn is number 685.